Hi there. Good to see you all. This is a message for Sunday, March 15th. We were planning to be together, but obviously that's not going to happen. And frankly, it may not happen for a while. Okay, get back together as soon as we may and as soon as it's prudent, but we know that we're into new territory at this time and place. I had planned to record something as a backup for today since I was traveling late into the night and things can happen. So I thought I'd share this all the same today as we go into something new and that we want to practice church together in creative ways. I'm coming to you from Jubilee Mennonite Church, the congregation that I served in prior to Menno. This is a congregation in close to the neighborhood of Winnipeg, about 75 people, and this is the sanctuary where we worship, where they worship. They've been kind enough to let me the space to talk to you all today. Our message comes from a familiar story, the woman at the well. It speaks of Jesus finding the Samaritan woman in a new place in a new time and offering something new along the way. This is how John records it in chapter 4, verses 5 through 15. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near a plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will run in them like a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Thirst is an insidious thing. It's among our most basic requirements, air, water, food, shelter, but it's also one of the desires that we are least likely to pay attention to. If you're anything like me, you can be tooling along with your day for quite some time before you actually realize that you are indeed thirsty. Living in the desert, we do know a thing or two about thirst. We often think about it as the way that it is depicted in cartoons. Someone panting and thinking about water and gasping for water until they open their canteen and they pour out sand. But I think it's a whole lot more insidious than that. In Arizona, I would be going around the day and not even realize that it was even hot. Because for me, hot means sweat. The sweat would evaporate so fast I didn't even notice. And by the time I knew that it was thirsty, it was already too late. I was a little bit dehydrated. I should have been drinking for a long time. I'm always fascinated by the way that Jesus takes the day-to-day things of life and turns them into stories of the kingdom. That's what he does here. He's just sitting in the waterhole, granted, in a place he's not supposed to be, in a way that he's not welcome, and that it's at least odd for a Jew to do. And he's just hanging out, and a woman comes to do what she needs to do, to get water. Another task for another day, the same old, same old. And it says that Jesus turns into something else. Jesus sees the true thirst that she carries is not ultimately that of the water in the well, or rather for the soul nourishment and that she needs as someone who has lived much and has had a complicated life. Her search was catching up with her, whether she realized it or not. These stories tell us something about what it is to have our ordinary stuff become the things of the kingdom of God. Because we're all thirsting for something. Our thirst, our desires that long we quench, hold a great deal of power over myself. I know that when I know that I'm thirsty, usually for something that isn't all that good for me, a soda or what have you, it's all that I can do to think of anything else. We may not be able to name it, we may not even be able to understand it, and we may not even realize it before we know that we're thirsty. We know this in body, we also know this in soul. We know that on an intuitive level that oftentimes we can't be thirsty after something that is spiritual. A spiritual dryness has entered our lives. So much so that the demands of daily life and living, we often endure the dry places of our life and often may even find it difficult to articulate our thirst. God for fulfillment, nearness, for healing, but yet we know that we're thirsty. But once we become aware of it, once we can name it, our search for holy, for relief, dominating and distracting, blinding us to all else. But often we don't even acknowledge that we do thirst for God. We've taken this passage, and many like it, that to say that if we have Jesus, therefore we should not be thirsty. Jesus is the ever living water. Why would you thirst? No, it's not true. We know that there are periods of struggle, exhaustion, and longing, and thirst. Often those who we look to as examples of faith have struggled and named this thirst. Mother Teresa, who we look to as a person of faith and love and charity, and is fast-tracked for sainthood, has written extensively about the longing that she often felt the sense of the holy. We see this time and again in the spiritual writers, and I think we know it on an instinctual level for ourselves. We are not always energized by the work of love. We are not always on fire with passion, and we can find our deepest selves running dry. Yet, most of the time we keep it to ourselves because we can convince ourselves that our spiritual dryness is more a matter of our internal plumbing than it is part of the actual spiritual life. And all that we need to do is find the right valve to restore the life-giving stream within. It's here where I think Jesus' metaphor of the ordinary and adaptation of life in the desert and in our time leaves us in the dust. More likely, we've left it in the dust. In our North American context, accustomed as we are to receive clean, healthy water and heretofore unheard of quantities from the mere twist of a tap, we often find ourselves distanced from the assumptions at work here. For Jesus, some 1900 years before the advent of indoor plumbing, the woman seeking her daily water was always something that was there. Life revolved around water. Where to get it, how to maintain it, and all the rest. Society, organized around water in a good well, one that could be counted on in quality and quantity, was something to be guarded jealously and prized as prized property and handed down from generation to generation. This is stuff that wars are fought over. It was always the work, always the practice, always the maintenance that made the difference. Day in and day out, there was a walk, the drawing of the bucket, the walk back. Day in and day out, that's what it took. So too is it with our spiritual wells. We have to tend them. We have to visit them. We have to maintain our practice and draw on our wells. I think it has much more to do with the well than it does with the tap. This water of eternal life is there, friends, and it bubbles in places where we don't expect to find them. And it flows deep and coolly if we but visit and if we draw on it. We have to draw the water from the well by developing the practices in our lives that give us access to that water. For some of us, this is something as natural or something that we've done for a long time. For others, it's something that is a time or a space or a touchstone that often springs life in them. For others, it's just something that we encounter now and again. But whatever the practice is, whatever the place is, whatever the circumstances are, we know that we'll be met by God. That we'll be nourished by God's good, thirst-quenching water that runs deep. Finding our disciplines and finding our wells and maintaining them is a good practice at any time. Lent is meant to put exactly this on the agenda, to do this spiritual well maintenance. It brings it to the fore. And now we have something new, a new circumstance that we never planned on, that we never desired and never are there. And it's going to be weird, and it's going to take some adaptation and creativity. Especially if you have kids around the house and they can't go away. But it's also an opportunity. In these days of altered schedules and diminished activity, I wonder what it might be to consider how we are going to draw from our wells. Where we need to hew closely to that which quenches our thirst, steadies our nerves, and increases our patience. Even if our life and schedule is not directly impacted, we'll have more space. There's no sports to attend. No games on TV. Church might be more occasional than we're used to, too. And where we can do something different. I wonder, what are the life-giving wells that you might turn to? What are the wells that you want to develop? What are the practices that will quench thirst within? But it goes beyond that. In the ancient Near East, a good well was never a private asset. It was a community thing to be shared and to be given to all who were there. Even the Jews and Samaritans, who share nothing in common, you give the man a drink, no matter what. I wonder what it might be look like for us to find ways to offer wells around to which to gather, to sit, to drink deeply of, when other people find themselves thirsty. How might we offer each other water? Or are we going to reach out and say, I need a drink? How are we going to work at things creatively to connect and support each other to the body of Christ? These are the things that I'm thinking about, and I invite you to think about them with me as we find our new wells. this day, and this time, and every time. May we, in these days and every day, find our wells, tend them, keep them, and be sustained by them, knowing that the waters run deep and cold, and clear, and refreshing, and that there is a God that will quench every thirst, now and always. Amen.